2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. That's, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor, in order that ye, by his poverty, might be enriched." I'll just read that once more. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor, in order that ye, by his poverty, might be enriched." We were speaking this afternoon about riches, and those who are rich in the world. I'm not quite sure who the richest person in the world is now. It used to be Bill Gates. It might be Mr. Bezos or somebody else. Certainly not me. Or you, I probably would hazard a guess. But I don't want to talk about famous people in this world. I'll talk about Jesus. Because this verse is about Jesus. In fact, the note, the title given here is his full title. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's no accident. You see, Jesus is Lord. He's supreme. King of kings, Lord of lords. There's no one above him. Supreme, almighty. Jesus. What does Jesus mean? You can look it up. It means saviour. Jesus is the saviour. My saviour. I wonder if he's yours. Saviour from what, you might ask? What do I need to be saved from? Well, there's a judgment coming. Paul, the apostle, says he's the deliverer from the coming wrath. There is a judgment coming. Men think they can get away with it. But my Bible tells me that everyone will be judged. Everyone. You, me, and everybody else that's ever lived. Jesus is the saviour for that. If you put your trust in him. He's also the saviour from your sins now. All the things that trouble you, all the things that you realise are wrong, he can save you from that too. So he's the Lord, he's Jesus, and he's Christ. What's Christ mean? It's the Messiah, the promised one. God promised that he was going to send a saviour. Right from the very moment, the beginning of the Bible, if I go back to Genesis, when man first sinned, there was a promise given, a promise that God was going to send a saviour. So Christ is the promised one. And you know, whatever God promises, he carries out. Do you know that? I can't trust anyone on this earth. Certainly don't trust politicians, do you? But you know, God and Jesus, who is his beloved son, you can trust absolutely. That is the only one. Can't trust me, but you can trust God. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to speak tonight not about politicians, not about famous people, not about rich people. I'll talk about Jesus. Everyone you know likes a rags to riches story, don't they? Someone who was in the gutter and they find fortune. Wonderful, isn't it? I heard many years ago of someone who used to sell a big issue on the streets, and he met someone, and to cut a long story short, he became a successful businessman. Rags to riches. But the gospel, you know, is about someone who went from riches to rags. He who was rich, and there's no one richer than Jesus, because he's God. Everything belongs to him. It says in the Psalms, you know, the cattle upon the thousand hills are mine. We're planted on this earth as tenants, really, you and I. But everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Think of how rich Jesus was in glory. The planets, the stars, all belong to him. Everything in the world belongs to him. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Think of all the angels. When Jesus suffered, you know, there was, it says, legions of angels came and ministered to him. Puts our little puny rich people into perspective, doesn't it? Here's one who was rich. He who was rich. God himself. What does it say? He being rich. That's Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Supreme One. Jesus, the Saviour. Christ, the Promised One. That person, he being rich. What does it say? Became poor. Became poor. How's that possible? What does that mean? You know, when Jesus came to this earth in the form of a baby, he became poor, didn't he? There's nothing more helpless than a baby. They depend on someone else for everything. They can't do anything for themselves. They are utterly dependent. You think of God, Jesus in heaven, coming down to this world and being utterly dependent. It's almost mind-blowing, isn't it? Such a transformation, such a stoop. And yet that is what actually happened. He came into the world. You know, this story is not just for Christmas, is it? It is a wonderful story, but it's not just for Christmas. But the fact is that God became man in the form of a baby, and he grew up still dependent on God. You know that everything that Jesus did, he depended on his Father. He didn't do a thing without asking God. Day by day, he asked God for everything. He was poor. He said, I don't have a home. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. There was the Romans and the Greeks and the Jews, all their fine houses, palaces, Herod, Pilate, all of them, fine houses. There's Jesus, God himself, says he had nowhere to lay his head. Became poor. Why would anyone do that? Why would anyone do that? He did it for you and for me. So that he could suffer and die. See, an angel couldn't suffer for you. He couldn't pay the price for your sins. It needed someone like us. And angels are not men, are they? It's an obvious statement. But the point is that we have sinned against God. You are a sinner, and I'm a sinner. Not a word you like, but people like to talk about today, is it? They talk about misbehaving or needing counselling. Mm. That's a favourite one, isn't it? Needing counselling, needing help. Bible calls it sin. If you've disobeyed God, if you've disobeyed your parents, if you've disobeyed your teacher, disobeyed the government, that's sin. Sin means disobedience. And we've all done that. It doesn't matter if you're the Bishop, Archbishop of Canterbury, or the Queen, or whoever it is. Everyone, it says, all men have sinned. That's what it says in the scriptures, in the Bible. All men. You can't opt yourself out of that. And God punishes sin. Do you know that? He will punish it. People say, why does God let people get away with it? There's a famous comedian, and he said, when I see God, I'm going to tell him a few things. I'll tell you something, he won't be able to say a thing. He'll be silent in the presence of Almighty God. You don't talk to God, but in his wonderful grace he will talk to you. It's wonderful, isn't it? Although we're sinners, what does God say? Come, let us reason together. How gracious that is. You know, God is a God of judgment and holiness, but he's also a God of mercy and grace. Says here, you know the grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favour. It means that God is towards you. What's the difference between grace and mercy? Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mm-hmm. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, being rich, became poor for your sakes. What is the ultimate definition of that poverty? It's the cross, isn't it? The cross. Just remember what I said. The Lord Jesus Christ, that glorious person, God himself, as a man. And he ends up on a cross. The ultimate punishment. And it was a shameful business. There's no nice way to die, is there? But the cross is one of the most cruel and the most shameful. The cruelty of the Romans, they'd laugh at the people hung up there. They'd spit at them. They'd mock them. We've seen a lot of cruelty in the last few weeks, haven't we? In different parts of the world, especially in Ukraine. Cruelty. But they did that to the Son of God. They did that to my Saviour. And he didn't deserve to be there. We deserve to be there because we're sinners. God could have wiped the moment that man sinned and rebelled against God, God could have wiped the planet. Because he's holy. I don't think we understand enough how holy God is. He cannot, it says, even look upon sin. And yet he loved you so much that he wanted to restore fellowship with you. He wanted you to be for himself. And therefore he sent his own son. Why would anyone do this? Who would willingly go from riches to rags? The only motivation would be love, wouldn't it? He wouldn't do it for self-esteem. He wouldn't do it for pride or for honour. The only reason why he took this reverse journey, if I can speak of it like that, is because he loved you and he loved me. He who, being rich, became poor for our sakes. Dare I say tonight, can you say, for my sake? For my sake. It says here, in order that ye, or you, by his poverty, might be enriched. And there's a note there in this particular version of the Bible to his, which says the his is emphatic. The poverty of such a one as he. And that's the whole point of what I'm trying to say. It was not anybody, was it? It was the person who he was. Jesus, the Son of God. He was such a one. He became poor for our sakes. That we, through his poverty. In other words, the cross. It was by that means that we become rich. Have you got any wealth tonight? You say, "Ma, I've got a few pounds in the bank, got a nice car, got a nice house." Maybe you've got nothing. What is money anyway? What is wealth? It all ends at the grave. Can't take it with you. Even people who are not Christians, they say that, "Well, you can't take it with you." Well, it's true, isn't it? But what is being offered in the glad tidings tonight, you can take with you. Because it's riches that are not subject to perishing, they're not subject to rust and moth and all the things that Jesus speaks about, the treasures of this world. They're not subject to those things because they're riches that are in heaven. He went to the cross, dear friend. He became poor in order that you might become rich. Not in this world's goods, but rich in having everything centered in heaven itself. You can have the forgiveness of sins. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? If you've sinned against someone, you've upset them, you've done them wrong, one of the best words that you can hear from that person is, "I forgive you." It's a horrible feeling, guilt, isn't it? You know you've done wrong. If you've maybe wronged someone, a family member, a friend, colleague, whatever it is, and you feel bad about it, but then they say, "I forgive you," that brings a sense of peace and joy in your heart, doesn't it? But you think of God. You've offended him, you've disobeyed him, but he says, "I forgive you. I'm not looking at your sin." What has he done? Has he just brushed it under the carpet? Has he just turned over the page? No, he doesn't do that. He has there is a way that he can forgive you righteously, honestly, on a right basis. Righteously might sound a long word, but on a right basis, God is able to forgive you. By brushing it under the carpet? No. But by the cross. Because Jesus, it says, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I don't fully understand it, dear friend, but it's true, because the Bible says so, and I know so in my own heart. I wonder tonight if you have the forgiveness of sins. Do you know that you're forgiven? Do you know that you've offended God and you've disobeyed? But then do you know that God is able to forgive you? Give you peace. Not much peace in this world, is there? No, there's no happiness, no peace, no joy. You look in the news tomorrow morning, see where you can find peace and happiness. It doesn't exist, does it? God can give that to you. How rich you can become as having being forgiven, as having peace in your heart, knowing that whatever may come, that God is for you. He's not going to judge you. Why isn't he going to judge you? Because he's already judged Jesus. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, God, it says, he poured his judgment on him. Something I can't understand, but I believe it and I accept it. So as one of the old hymns says, he bore that cup so that there's nothing left for me. Nothing left. God's judgment was exhausted so that there's nothing left but blessing for you and me. That makes me feel rich, doesn't it? To know that I'm being forgiven and I have peace with God. Peace. Do you have peace with God? If you have peace with God, then you can have peace with others too, can't you? It has to be in that order. Get right with God, that's the first thing. And then you get right with others. The forgiveness of sins. What else does God give you? Peace? Joy? Joy? Doesn't mean happiness, exactly. Lots of people in the world without Jesus are supposedly happy, but they're not really, are they? It's all on the surface. But you know what God gives you is joy, and that's lasting. And it's the point is that you can have that even when the sorrow. Some of us know that at the moment. You know, God is able to give you joy in the midst of grief and sorrow and pain, because it comes from God himself. Gives you assurance. You know, there's people, a lot of people are uncertain. I think I've lived 60 years, probably quite a long life to you young chaps. But really, it's just a flick and it's gone. It's nothing. And yet in my short life, I've never known such an uncertain time. One thing that marks today, 2022, is uncertainty. We just don't know what's around the corner. And yet, for the believer in Jesus, he has this certainty. Peter says, we've been begotten again to a living hope. We know. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. He absolutely knew where he was going. And he knew what the end of was. He's going to be with Jesus in heaven. Guaranteed. Blessed assurance. Sometimes we sing, Jesus is mine. Do you have that rock solid assurance in your heart that it's settled? No questions. Paul says, you know, that the believer in Jesus, nothing can separate them from the love of God. Nothing. It says devils, angels, hell, death. No, not even death itself. Because for the Christian, death is just the doorway to eternal life. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Doesn't that make you rich? Doesn't that make you wealthy? You can feel full of joy and happiness tonight. And then God gives you his Holy Spirit too. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? God is a giving God. He likes to give, doesn't he? Men like to take. Does it say in the Proverbs? I can't quote it very well. The leech has got two daughters. Give, give. The world wants to suck things out of you. Take, take. God is someone who wants to give. He's given the best gift of all, Jesus. Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable free gift. God has given his very best to the very worst. That's you and me. He's given his very best, Jesus. He who was rich became poor for our sakes, that we, through his poverty, yes, by that method, through his poverty, through the cross, because of what Jesus did there, through his poverty, we are enriched. God has given us so much. The forgiveness of sins, assurance, joy, peace, gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? God himself. As we know from the Bible, God, three persons. Again, I can't explain that, but it's a fact. God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's given Jesus, who came as a baby, walked this earth, suffered and died. Where is Jesus now? He's in heaven. And I can tell you tonight, dear friend, that heaven's a real place. I used to think when I was a child it was some sort of mist up there somewhere in some fairy tale land. Heaven's a real place, and there's a real man up there. His name's Jesus, and I'm soon going to be there, as is everyone else who believes in him, because he's coming soon to take everyone. But Jesus is up there, so what happens to us down here? Are we left alone? No, because God has given his Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell in everyone that believes in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our link between us and him in glory. And God gives that Holy Spirit to you now to help you, to make you full of joy. Yes, sometimes we have troubles, don't we? Very often. Sometimes we get down, we get discouraged. We even doubt. You know, the devil is very cunning. He hates the Christian. He hates the believer. The devil would try and put you off and make you doubt and fear. But God has given his Spirit. And do you know what it says? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you can be on the winning side tonight. You can be victorious. How rich you are. The forgiveness of sins, peace, joy. You have the Holy Spirit. And we've got one another too. He's given us people to have fellowship with, to have good times with, to learn together, to grow together. He's given us members of his church to witness to and to pray with, to comfort one another. Talks in the New Testament about comforting one another, encouraging one another. That's why we come together, isn't it? God has given us so much. But the most he's ever given is Jesus himself. Him who knew no sin became sin for us. Or as the verse that I read tonight, and you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Him who was rich became poor for our sakes. For my sake, that through his poverty, all that he went through, we might become rich. Well, I don't want to say any more, except one thing. How did that verse start? You know. Paul was writing to the Corinthians. He said, you know that. They did know, actually. Question is tonight, do you know? Do you know this grace? Do you know this person who went such a way from riches to rags, that you might go from rags to riches. Clothed with the best robe, you know. That's what, when the younger son in Luke 15 came home, was he given just an old trackie from the cupboard? No, he was given the best robe, wasn't he? The very best. And that's what God does in the glad tidings. He gives the very best. The best robe is a picture of Jesus and his righteousness. And as if you have come to God tonight in repentance and faith, God says, I'm not going to see you anymore. I just see my son and all his goodness, clothed in the best robe. So we're fit. It says in another place in the scripture, fit for sharing the portion of saints in life. We're fit in God's presence. We're suitably clothed. Jesus, you know, he told a parable about a wedding feast, and there was all these people coming in, and there was just one man, and he didn't have the right thing on. And he stood out like a sore thumb, didn't he? The point is, you've got to be suitably dressed for the presence of God. You wouldn't go to meet the Queen in rags, would you? You'd have to be suitably attired. You'd have to have the right clothes. God tonight would say to you, you can be suitable for my holy presence. I've given Jesus. He's taken that journey that we've read of and sung of. He's taken that journey and he's gone into the ultimate poverty and shame that you might be given all that, given the very best. May you then come to him tonight. Put your trust in him. Have to do with this glorious Saviour. Accept him for yourself. You know. Paul says, you know. I'd ask you tonight, dear friend, each one of us, do we know this glorious person for ourselves? In his name's sake.
Amen.